Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Annyeong.
Hola.
Hello.
Welcome to Let's Talk Hoya podcast.
I was expecting someone to say it.
Okay, so for today's episode, we thought it would be fun to do a little bit of a Q&A. So if you follow us on Instagram at let's.talkhoya, you probably see saw on our stories from maybe at this point, it's been a few weeks. And I basically just put ask us anything, and I feel like these are always fun because it gives us a chance to just engage with our listeners, you know. And y'all delivered. There are some questions
in
here.
Is there some personal questions?
So, I don't know.
I plead the fifth.
I guess we'll figure it out.
Plead the fifth.
We'll have to wait and see. So let's dive right in.
Let's just do what the podcasters would be like. Should we get into the topic?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, question number one. Ready? From Roots and Joy. Hoya Flamingo Dream looks like a sun-stressed crimson queen to me. Why are prices so high?
Let me look this Hoya up because I have never heard of it.
I tell you what, if you Google that, you will see so many incorrect things on the interwebs. It's insane.
I also couldn't remember the name and I was calling it Flamingo Tango because I'm just, you know, because I honestly don't know what this is. I haven't seen it yet. But what it reminded me of was like 2 years ago when we were getting into the Lacanosa craze, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And there was all sorts of Lacanosa names. And I mean, none of them were actually like registered as cultivar and just made up by sellers. Yeah. And so I'm like,
I like that pink on there, though. That is very, very pink.
It is.
Unless someone
True. Saturation 90%.
Unless I'm saying this and like someone actually registered it, but I don't know. Are we gonna see Flamingo Tango next? A Flamingo Dream Tango?
That's what
Mango
Pineapple. One of the first things that comes up on Google is Hoya Carnosa Crimson Queen Pink, aka Flamingo Dream, with single quotes. Like those are all cultivars. I do not believe that there is a cultivar called Crimson Queen Pink. Maybe there is. I could be completely wrong.
If you registered that, let us know. Give us info.
But, I mean, if you guys remember our episode with Rachel, she talked about, you know, the cultivars and also like that not every variegated Carnosa is a Crimson Queen or a princess.
Yeah.
Like those are very specific cultivars that you should only call it that if it came labeled that.
Yeah.
It just looks like a sunstress. The pink's not going to stay, but it's still pretty.
And also, like, is it just another one of those? I feel like every year there's like a round of, you know, sellers in the market. They come up with a name, it sticks, and then everyone's calling it that.
Yeah.
And then I feel like there's also the, well, I didn't get it as that, but I think mine looks the same, so I'm going to sell it as that. So I don't know if it's like that perpetuating, but I'll have to look into it more because I didn't even know Flamingo Dream was a thing in good old 2024.
Yeah. So in short, the summary is one, we don't know much about this Hoya. And it is expensive because it's the latest and greatest craze, as we all know happens in the Hoya world, plant world. And a lot of them might not actually be the real thing, if there is the real thing.
Like if you don't actually know the origin of that specific Hoya, I always say proceed with caution because you never know. And so we'll look into it a little bit and if we have updates. we'll share them with you.
And like, again, take everything with a grain of salt, especially here and on the internet. Cause like I'm on a Reddit thread about the flamingo dream. And like the top comment is, it's the same as a Crimson Queen commercial fraud for me. Hoya Carnosa freckles / stardust equals Hoya Carnosa splash. And I was like, I mean, I get what you're saying, but freckles and stardust aren't they registered cultivar from Coco Ranch?
I think so.
Yeah. So not the same, Oedipus Kevin.
Oedipus Kevin's all listening. He's like, wait, that's me.
that's my Reddit. That's my throwaway Reddit. But anyway.
So sorry, yeah, that wasn't a clear answer, but you know, we're all learning here together, you know, kumbaya, we're in it together.
But okay. What we can answer is it's not the same exact thing as a Crimson Queen. So that's a very own thing.
Proceed with caution.
It's a cute though. I mean, I do think the picture is, it kind of has like an outer variegated, the Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you remember that outer variegated one?
Oh, it's like hot pink.
It has like that vibe of the leaf, but then it turns pink. It's like hot pink. I don't know. It's very cute.
And hey, you never know. Prices might drop.
It's true.
All right.
They always do. Except for very few minor occasions.
Okay, next one from Stacy Lowe. How do I transfer a globulosa from moss to another medium? It's been in the moss a while.
Ooh.
I have a handy dandy trick. And this is the handy dandy trick that I always share with everybody, is you get a tub of water and you take the plant out of the substrate and you stick all of it into the tub of water. Let the moss get super, super saturated, because once moss is super saturated, it gets really dark brown. And then at that point, you can distinguish what the moss is and the root is, because the root would still stay white.
Yeah, because globulosa does have very bright white roots. Yeah.
Yes. And that's so then...
tongue twister. Bright white. Bright white roots.
Okay, say it three times. I'm just kidding.
I can't.
Yeah, no, I can't. Bright white roots.
Okay.
It's a hard one. Yeah. That's a little...
Bright white roots.
Anyway, back to the point.
Accepted.
Okay, on an unrelated note, senior year of high school, I did win a tongue twister competition. Remember that?
What did you have to say?
In creative writing?
I don't remember that.
Oh, it was like a whole sheet of
tongue twister. Because you probably beat Jessie for it and she just blocked out of her memory.
Yep.
Okay, Lydia, but anyway.
And you walk to the front of class and she's like, look, I love you, but you're not winning.
Okay, so you soak it and then you can differentiate between the root and the moss. And honestly, once the moss is like super, I feel like once it's dry, that's when it's the hardest to manipulate and get it off. But if it's soaking wet, a lot of times it just like slides right off. And honestly, if you lose like a root or two, especially if it's like really well rooted, it's not going to be the end of the world. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would do. Strip all the moss off that you can and then pop it into your preferred substrate. Because especially globulosa is hardy.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's definitely the way to go. And again, just reiterate, you're going to break some off and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Unless it only has one root, but... She said it was in there for a while, so...
Yeah, I'm guessing there's a good number of roots. More.
Yeah.
My advice would be don't buy plants and moss. I'm just kidding.
But if you do, I'm telling you my handy-dandy method.
I've seen Lydia do it successfully.
It's like magic. Okay, next question. Heather_Mitchell1. As Adam keeps his collection ambient, is there a process to quote-unquote baby in a new plant? Do you baby your plants, Adam?
No, I do not. I probably do the opposite of baby plants.
He traumatizes them into the regular atmosphere.
No, because I root all of the cuttings that I get in those boxes. Mm-hmm. So it's like a sealed environment.
High humidity.
And then I rip them out of those pots, put them in pond, and stick them on the shelf.
Yeah. And then you tell them, you go Glen Coco.
Yep. You either...
You grow Glen Coco.
You grow or you go.
You grow.
You grow Glen... That's a good one. But that's also a tongue twister. You grow Glen...
You grow Glen Coco.
I mean, just...
It's not a tongue twister for those of us who speak English.
You grow... Okay, well, I speak...
Lydia won an award
for tongue twisters,
and she didn't get that one out.
You grow Glen Coco.
Do I speak English? I do.
Look at my ESL self thriving over here. You grow Glen Coco. Gruel. Can I get my certificate?
So yeah, no babying. No babying.
But say it's like a plant that you just get, maybe has no roots or it's a cutting. What do you do?
If it's a cutting, mm-hmm. I'll put it in the cups that like we do for the green plant. Mm-hmm. Stick it in those bins.
Mm-hmm. High humidity.
High humidity. I let it root. I want to see roots. Mm-hmm. And then after that, when I feel like it, / when I'm not being a lazy POS, I'll put it in pond.
And by let it root, he means like they grow root all the way up the whole vine and they look like a 100-foot centipede.
I don't love vine roots.
No.
I know that mine do that in the prop box because it's such a humid environment. Mm-hmm. But whenever I get a plant that has those all over them, I just pluck them each off. Just pluck them all down the stem.
It's kind of satisfying plucking them. But they do leak sap. So yes. Fair warning.
If you have a latex allergy, please wear protective gear.
Gloves. Yes, always wear protection. Okay. Next question by Teeny Tiny Jungle. The place is burning.
Teeny Tiny Jungle.
You can only save one Hoya. Which one are you grabbing?
I have an answer.
I also don't ever want my place to burn. That's like a big fear of mine. Okay.
Well, I've had our family home burn, so it happens. We were not able to save anything except for the dog.
That took a dark turn.
Anyway. And I wasn't even there. I wasn't even living there at the time, but it felt very personal because like all of our childhood things are there. Anyway, I would save my Hoya Vitellino Ideas that Adam gave me, which is not dead.
Uh-huh.
It is very much alive.
Uh-huh.
I would grab that one because Adam gave it to me.
Wow.
And it's very special.
Oh.
And it's right by the sliding door, so hopefully. The big leaf Vitellinoides. Because I love that one.
Also, I think maybe you should choose a different Hoya because that one's already dead.
It's not. Everyone thinks it's dead. It's not. It's not. But I did take security cuttings
because you know what's sad? You would save the dead Hoya. You would save the dead Hoya to be like, wow, I saved one plant, but then it's like already dead. So then at the end of the day, you didn't save a single one.
Wow. I feel attacked right now. It's not dead. I'm going to prove it to you guys.
Okay.
It just got very
cold. And if
cold.
It's just shriveled up and it's just sitting there, that's still dead. Just because all the leaves haven't fallen off and just because it's not black doesn't mean that it's not dead.
Yeah, it's dead.
Because even Adam's like, no, if you feel the leaves, they feel like paper. You know how it, like when dry rot happens and it's just like paper thin and you're like, okay, this plant's literally getting zero nutrients. That's what it's like. And I was like, just you need to reroot this. She's like, leave it. It's fine. It's still alive. And I'm like,
whatever. I took security cuttings for well over a year.
Yeah.
Maybe it was growing at one point.
It was more than 2 years because I had it since the apartment.
Yeah.
And that's been like 2-3 years.
Okay. So Jesse is saving an already dead plant. You know what? It'll probably help from the fire spreading faster.
Which, I mean, audience, follow Jesse on Instagram because that's what we're talking about. We'll follow us all. But that when you posted that, I was like, she's real, because you were just like taking a photo of outside about being a gloomy day and there's like dead plants everywhere and you post on your
there was one dry looking plant, which is not dead.
You're not getting like a fake like Instagram aesthetic with Jesse. No, you're getting real life. There's no shame.
And Aaron,
I love it. Yeah.
What is he at? Hoya whore?
Hoya whore, yeah.
Was like, thanks for the dead plant in the middle. And I'm like, bro, that's not even dead.
And Jesse was trying to just show off her lamp. Like, look at my lamp. And everyone's like,
mushroom lamp.
Your plant's dead.
Yeah, I had that since 2022.
Oh, wow.
That's when I went up on my page.
Wow. Well, nice. Bob, I guess that was about time. Okay, what about you?
You know, basic bitch, but I'm going to take my inner variegated Hoya Bovada with splash because it's just
that is your queen bee, though.
That's your signature plant. Yeah.
So much so that I posted the video on my Instagram. Like, I just took one day, I was like, glamour shots of that Hoya. someone stole that, but it's so recognizable as my video. Oh yeah, that happens all, like they just download the reel and then just post it as their own.
What?
Yeah.
Someone posted it onto their page as theirs?
Yeah, Rare Plants India, which have stolen a bunch of other people's videos too, but I was going to give them 24 hours. But basically, I got all these comments and people are like, we know this is not dudes. Like, and I kind of love that.
Aww, it is an iconic plant. If I think about, because one of the first Ikoya videos that I saw from you was when you did that unboxing of that plant. And I still remember, and you did the little ting and you were still using the little wee pots. And
yeah.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
We were eating so many yogurts. Our guts were healthy.
And they were. And mine's doing good now because yogurt is my nightly snack.
Look at you doing the most.
I know.
The gut is the center of health.
Yeah. The gut is the center of health. That probably is like what your mom was saying as she was trying to make you drink that tea that she ordered online from another state.
Bro, that was disgusting.
Wait, what tea? I don't know the story.
Yeah, remember we talked about the herbal tea? Because Korea, like herbalism is like really big.
And then Lydia would just go by and spit it out at any sink she was near.
No, I would just like pour out something into the sink until it was all gone. A kid had to try, okay? That was just hard.
But yeah, I'd probably grab that one just because we've been through a lot.
Aww.
What about you?
Yeah, what are you grabbing?
Okay, so I recently moved around some of my plants and the infamous Polyneura outer variegated, the one that RIP'd in the mail, and then Jesse got me one for my birthday. And I gave Adam a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse and I still don't have a piece.
And since you still need a piece, and it's like literally right next to my desk. So like on the way out, I could like grab it and run out, you know?
Okay. I like how that she explains how easy it would be to actually give you some of it. Yet she never does. She's like, it's right here. So I could just so quickly grab it, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. She makes a conscious decision to not give me this plant. When I toiled away under the sun to purchase it for her birthday because I knew it would make her happy.
And then at the end of last year, I moved it into like a perfect pot that I found. And so now it's all cute. So that one, she would be the one.
Yeah.
I mean, in reality, I'd be busy grabbing my dogs and my plants would just... They'd be fuel for fire.
Oh yeah, animals always first.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe not fuel for fire, because if there's nutrient solution and there's water, maybe that would help.
Maybe. We'll have to set your house on fire.
Stop, don't even say
don't
that.
Don't put that in the universe. Yeah. But then Lydia's just taking her arm along the shelf and just...
Well, I have a doggy door, so hopefully all my animals... I'll just grab the turtle, because that's the only one that...
I was thinking you were going out the doggy door. I was like...
Say it right now.
No, just see your ass just sitting there.
Well, because I have a doggy door, I could go out it.
No, I meant hopefully my pets will be smart enough to be like, the place is on fire, let's scooch. So I could grab like a handful of Hoyas.
Jesus is like, I got me during a fire, I got an exit plan.
Jesus, your Hoyas are going to be like kindling, so you need to keep the fire away.
I feel very attacked during this question. I'll get everything that's not near the graveyard, because that definitely is going to be...
That's going to go up quick. The graveyard.
Anyway, if you're my insurance provider, that doesn't exist.
Okay, next question. From those leaves, though, have you tried silicon Hoya? Seeing a lot of aroid lovers praise it for soil-based plants.
Silicon Hoya?
Silica.
Oh,
what? Like silica gel? Silica?
The kind I used to chew on?
Yeah, S-I-L-I-C-A, silica.
Wait, you read that question wrong. Can you read it again?
I read it exactly how...
Did she say...
It was confusing, right?
No, she put, or they put, have you tried silica on Hoya? Seeing a lot of aroid lovers praise it for soil-based plants.
Oh, see, you said, have you tried silica Hoya? And I was like, what?
Oh, silica on Hoya. Yeah.
Well, I know. We would try it, but Jesse keeps eating them.
That was for our Patreons. Only our Patreons knew.
So the only problem with this is we don't have aeroids and we don't use soil.
Hey, but that might be a nice experiment for not dude there.
Because okay, silica, like, though, is supposed to take away moisture, right?
That's weird.
And so we couldn't use it for how we grow, which is semi-hydroponically. Yeah.
Is that what people are using it for? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, that's what she said, that people are using it for aeroids, which I imagine it helps like prevent root rot.
So the reason they're putting it in the soil is to absorb excess water.
That's the only thing I can think.
Extend watering, because then water will, if the soil around the silica bead is dry, wouldn't it take from the silica through osmosis? I don't know.
Yeah, we need some scientists in here to explain it to us.
But we have not.
No, we have not tried it. I also can't see a place for us to try it because of how Lydia said how we grow is hydroponically, semi-hydroponically. So things have to be sitting in water.
I'm reading.
But it is interesting, though.
So it says a lot of water-conserving potting soils like Miracle-Grow mix it in with their mix to retain water. It works well, but if you have drainage issues, I wouldn't recommend it. If you have a dry environment, then it probably won't hurt. So it does retain water.
Interesting. Mm. Which makes sense. Like back in the day, like when I first got into plants and you use Miracle-Grow, there are like those little beads in there, mm-hmm. which they always say is like, oh, it's fertilizer. But I mean,
delayed release fertilizer.
It could some be of silica. It could be mixed in with silica, you know?
Mm. Now I need to try them all. Oh, well.
Jesse's all. Jesse gets a spoon. Into the Miracle-Grow and eats it, bro. Okay. Next episode.
Already? Okay.
Okay. Next question. Also from Those Leaves, though. Episode on Lacunosa hybrids. Are there so many because they bloom like crazy?
Probably. But also... Are
they hybrids? Well, I guess there are, because like Lacunosa is part of
Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. Sunrise.
Mm-hmm. There are quite a few of them if you think about it. Whenever we were trying hand pollination, like it would be really easy.
Because they're always to flowering. To
see the pollina and, mm-hmm. and things like that, you know? So but, it could be, yeah. And maybe they're really receptive. I mean, we haven't been successful, but
yeah,
you know.
Unfortunately, we're not botanists or scientists or smart in any way either. So
we're smart and we try.
We are smart. Oh, I think God. That the people are just finding a lot of different variations of the Lacunosa probably out in situ. And mm-hmm. I don't know.
But it is interesting.
I do in. You know, I kind of went Lacunosa crazy for a while. We all did a mm-hmm. little bit. But I do love the smell of those flowers, though. I mean, no one's going to take that away from me.
You and Jesse both do. To me, they're just a little, like, slightly too strong. It almost makes me like, ooh, like, that's strong.
Yeah, my tie doesn't like you.
Okay, next question from M. Pellet. Do you ever have difficulty rooting Hoya cuttings that have thicker or woody stems?
No.
I think thicker woody stems are easier to root.
I agree.
Yeah.
Brave yet controversial statement mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, I have trouble rooting all Hoya. Oh, yeah.
Why am I looking at you for an answer?
Why are we looking for my answer?
Where's your rooter?
Adam is my rooter base. Things don't come into my house unless they have roots.
Yeah.
So...
I think woodier and thicker, they root easier. Even thicker, they root easier. It mm-hmm. really is like the thinner vines that I feel like sometimes can have trouble where they can rot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Just personally.
And if you're rooting your woody stem Hoya in water, like it is a little alarming when the roots start because it kind of just looks like there's a bunch of scale all over it because they kind of like come out as like a whitehead pimple a little bit. Yeah,
and then they just like crack through and you're like, ugh.
and then they just start growing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I personally think it's easier. I feel like the like parts of the stem that have the lowest chance of success are like those newer vines that come out.
Oh, yeah.
And even after the leaves have hardened, like if they're like at the very tippy top, sometimes like those newer vines, they just don't have it in them to do it.
Yeah.
So
100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question. From CSP1232, will you be doing any Hoya care or pest management updates? Love the Hoya and the BKG.
What's BKG? Background.
Oh. We're all so old, so sometimes we don't get young people acronyms anymore.
I was like, is that a country?
Me Where, too.
Where's BKG?
I also thought that for background. Like 1 second.
Okay, so I feel like in general, Hoya Care Updates has been our series, mm-hmm. our Hoya series that came out at the beginning of the year because we did the thickum, the thin leaves. And then by the time this episode goes out, the strange leaves will be out, which is like our whole series on how we care for our Hoya. So yeah, I feel like that's helpful.
I feel like there are dollops of updates in every one of our episodes, but maybe like towards the end of the year, we can do another one like to see if we've changed any care.
Yeah, because we did that last year too, because when we first started the podcast, we talked about our Hoya care. And then last year, mm-hmm. we did an update episode on pests and things like that. And yeah, I mean, it's true that things change, you know, life ebbs and flows. So you can look out for it. Sometime this year in 2024, we will do an episode, an update episode.
Yes.
Okay. From Nikki's Green Paradise. Hi, guys. I love the podcast. Aww. We do too. What are your top favorite Hoyas at the moment?
Oh, I don't have an answer. So does anyone?
My number one will always be Ganungading.
Ganungading.
Oh,
and actually,
she's still going, huh?
SP Kaoyai is one of my other favorites. Like, she's just been sturdy and nice, big, thick leaves. And oh, and then the third one. My SP Tribuana and Melliflua. They're very similar.
And big leaves.
They're just big green. The Melliflua right now, the leaves are so shiny. And they just grow and grow and grow. I love it.
Yeah. Mine would be the Hoya Denisii Frida.
Oh, is that one growing yet by chance?
Yeah, well, there's a leaf happening.
Oh! Once it starts going, I feel like sometimes it can be like slow to start, but once it goes, it goes. So, yeah.
So that one, the one you sat on, the species Ace.
Moment of silence.
It's like, yeah, it's never recouped. It has not recouped yet, but there is one leaf growing finally.
It's not back to its former glory yet.
In the meantime, though, the cutting that I got from you... growing really pretty, so thank you.
Well, why don't you ever send that. Updates? I want to see it.
I feel bad.
No.
I want to see it too.
Because I crushed you.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. See, Lydia doesn't share with us. Mm-mm. She's never walking around being like, look at these plants.
Maybe what I need to do is go to her house and trip all over the variegated pollinura.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'll just sitting right by her
door where she can easily grab it.
Trips on it a little too much. Annihilated.
That's right.
Hola Hoya friends! So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there!
Looking to elevate your gardening game this season? Well, look no further than Coast of Maine, your go-to source for premium organic soils for over 28 years. Organic approved and sourced from oceans and farms, their full range of garden and lawn products are designed to restore roots to the natural world.
So picture this. You're struggling with lackluster soil, just like I did last year, and your garden plans just aren't thriving. And that was until we discovered Coast of Maine. Their products infuse my soil with the healthy microbes and nutrients it was craving, resulting in vibrant outdoor plants that practically thanked me for the upgrade.
Omri listed and crafted from natural ingredients like lobster shells and fish bones, Their products not only nourish your plants, but also your peace of mind.
Are you ready to take your garden to the next level? Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. That's why their products are carried by local retail partners who provide advice and insight, not just found in big box stores.
And Coast of Maine knows, from beginning to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere.
Their products make organic gardening simple and approachable for everyone.
Let's get growing together.
Visit coastofmaine.com today. That's coastofmaine with an E.com. I do get excited every time my fungi with splash puts out a leaf because I just want to see what it looks like.
You mean fungi so with freckles?
Pretty.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Hello. Why are we ignoring the Hoya fish stegii?
Well, that one's up at the top of the list, too.
I'm trying to remember if you put it on your Hoya I'm over
no
reel that I was so deeply offended by.
That's offensive.
But yeah. What about you, Lydia?
Okay, top right now, Ixilis, because that one bloomed for me for the first time. And now it just won't stop. There's just peduncle, peduncle, peduncle. I even had like a funky dunky situation happening where a peduncle is growing out of a peduncle. I just saw that today.
See, as we
I
was didn't walking see through the door. Today.
Okay, well, I only was at my house for like 30 minutes before I had to like head back out.
I don't know. I feel like you're not really
no,
our friend.
I just saw it as I was walking in the door today. Wow. So, Ixilis, like
I just spell that.
Ixilis.
Sorry.
Yeah, because you've never showed us yours, so we have to go look on the internet.
No, I
so does
sent
it have a
you
scent?
Guys. I know, I'm just kidding. I sent you guys a photo of that one because I was so excited.
Does it have a scent?
Not that I've smelled.
Mm-hmm.
So
cute.
But it's just really cute, and it's almost like shimmery, translucent looking when you look at it, like in like the perfect light. And it's just always blooming, and I just love her. So that one I'm really enjoying. My platycollis is growing really steadily. And there were blooms that were budding up, but they all fell off. So I'm just hoping that maybe one day, but she's just gorgeous in general, how she grows. So I'm loving her. And then the last one, my Compacta Mauna Loa that I got from you, Adam. Compactas, I feel like, can be like slower growing, but the Mauna Loa, like over the winter time, she just like picked it up and there's like new leaves coming in. Mm-hmm. And you know, like under higher light, there's like a little bit of a pink hue mm-hmm. that comes in. So there's like a little bit of a pinky that comes in and she's just like growing and I'm excited for it to be a big full basket one day. So.
Yeah. And then you can give me a cutting because mine just hasn't really done anything. It's still here. It's still alive.
It's still with us.
It's still with us.
So she's just kind of like putting out like one little leaf at a time. And because like it grows a little bit slower, I feel like you can really enjoy each leaf.
Yeah.
And so that one has been nice. And it's like on a shelf where like I'm always walking by. So I just give her a little glance and say hi, you know, so.
I do have a green form compacta that has like it started a new vine and it's actually growing new leaves. And it's actually really, really exciting like on a compacta for some reason to see new leaves or to see growth. Because I think it does have that legacy of like being a super slow grower.
Yeah.
And there's always something about because your compacta, Adam, with that like pink bloom on there, that is just always going to be the most gorgeous thing to me. So goals.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day soon. Okay, next question. From Launi, just Planty 2.0. How are you?
Oh, girl, that is a loaded question. Sit
we'll
down.
Start crying.
Pull up a chair.
Oh, girl, do you have time? No. Oh,
you know what? We should talk about that on our Patreon episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in general, it's felt like the longest January ever. And I know it's already February.
No, it's not January anymore.
No, I was going to say it's already February. Oh, well, I don't know if I want to date this, but I just did.
Yeah. I feel like we always do.
It's been an exhausting beginning of the year.
Yeah, but 2024.
The Hoyas are keeping us going.
She's
right?
A whore.
Hey,
actually, that's... no, that's a negative thing. But I like whores.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
That's why we're friends.
Jessie doesn't even pause. She's like, yeah.
Like, how dare you?
Yeah. But we're good, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're alive. Yeah. That's so we have lots to be grateful for. It's just, you know, weird start to the year, but I think everyone feels that way.
Yeah, for sure.
This year, I feel like of all the years have been a weirder start. But you know what? Recently, I saw something where someone was like, it's just so weird that we start like fresh and new in the dead of winter when all of life like comes back afresh in spring. And I was like, you know what? Okay, I have until spring.
Yeah, until those leaves come back out on the trees. Yeah.
Yeah, for real. So I'm like, you know what? It's not a new year in my book until... Spring it's first.
All right, then.
Spring first.
Oh, okay. Next question is from... Second. Okay. Oh, next question is from Gio. Gio from GC Erski, I think. Any tips on growing Hoya lacunosa from Prangendrium waterfall? Mine wants to die. Oh no.
Oh.
Mine lived in my house for like 2 weeks and it died. So.
I have not had trouble with that one.
Yeah, yours has been pretty. Had trouble.
Look at it.
Yeah. Adam's cascading a down. Huge.
He has a huge one.
Oh.
Gosh. I'm looking at it right now.
I don't baby mine though, so maybe that was a thing. Well, you probably didn't baby it either.
No, I just didn't give it water.
Just the usual. Maybe you should try the silica.
I truly just have not done anything special with mine. It's out in Gen Pop. I treat it like all my other Hoyas, and it's happy. So maybe just. Don't baby it that much.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or, you know, because sometimes when you have struggling Hoya, you do baby it. That's what I do at least.
Mm-hmm.
And so either don't baby it like Adam or do baby it like Lydia. I know this is very contrasting information. And I'm sorry if you're torn between the information we're sharing. But if like a Hoya that I have isn't doing super well, then I'll sometimes put it into higher humidity, give it a little bit less light and give it some time to heal and hopefully perk back up, you know?
Less light. I think that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Like high light does stress out our plants, especially mm-hmm. if you're like trying to like baby them. So
yeah,
tuck it away.
So put it in a little bit less light. And if you have like a little spot for a higher humidity, put in a little bit of higher humidity. If not, you can even put it in a Ziploc bag or put a cloche over it or a cup over it or something. Yeah. And just baby it a little bit and see if that helps it come back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got this, Gio.
You got this. Okay, next question from sensitive.fern. How often should I fertilize my Crimson Queen Hoya? What kind of soil does it like?
Well, sensitive.adam is going to say that chunky soil mix, if you're going to do mm-hmm. soil. We used to do that, but we don't anymore. So you're going to have to amend a potting mix if you're going to just use a potting soil. Just like throw in some perlite, some like tiny orchid bark. Just give it chunky and airy. What was the other question about before the soil?
Fertilizing.
See, this is where I feel like we're going to get some differences of opinion. Not between us, because I think we're all on the same page, but people, like I fertilize year round.
Mm-hmm.
I feed my plants the nutrients year round.
Same. And I have like a handful of plants that are still in like a soil or even just cocoa husk. And I just do the same for them that I do all my other plants.
Yeah.
Because I mean, honestly, during the wintertime, I still see tons of growth on my plants.
Yeah. I don't buy the whole dormancy thing. Like there are definitely like Stephania erecta that. You throw it in your refrigerator because that thing does.
Like truly has a dormancy.
Yeah. Our Hoya, our philodendron. No, I think they just don't grow as fast because it's less light. Mm-hmm. But if you're giving them supplemental light, then
they just keep on going. Yeah.
They don't get the seasonal depression. We do, but they don't.
Yeah. They're just happy as can be. Yeah. I'm just saying.
It's a nice life.
It is. I like this little life.
Not like this little life.
So hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah.
But yeah, do some kind of like a soil amendment. Don't just put it into regular soil. We're not soil users, but amending soil is always key. A good way to go.
Yeah. I was just sitting here thinking, maybe you don't want to fertilize it if you pot it in new soil mix. I'm so out of the soil game that I'm like, oh yeah, soil already has like fertilizer and nutrients in it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So it's hard to say.
It is.
We're sorry. We're not soil girlies.
But I truly don't think you are going to hurt the plant if you give it fertilizer.
Yeah. And, you know, key signs that you can look out for that your plant is getting too much nutrients. Like if it isn't in super, super high light, then a lot of times like the leaves will become chlorotic, you know, from mm-hmm. getting too much nutrients. So the plant gives you signs. So just be mindful and keep on looking at it and get to know your plant and she will tell you. From Kyle Guarin, what's on your plant wish list for 2024? Ooh.
Is this Kyle? Is this Kyle from Australia?
Arnar.
I knew you guys were going to say that.
Or New Zealand?
Arnar Clare.
Anyway.
Oh, New Zealand. Yeah. Okay, yeah. How do they talk in the New Zealand?
I'm not even going to try it, but I feel like I can hear it.
They speak Dutch, right?
No, they have like...
They speak English.
They speak English. It's like a hybrid of like the Australian accent, but like kind of sexier, I think.
Ooh. Okay. What's this person's name?
Kyle Guarin.
Kyle, send us a voice memo, please. Or anyone in any listeners in New Zealand. We need to hear that sexy accent.
So what's on our plant wish list for 2024?
Well, my plant wish list for 2024 is a lot of replacing. I have killed Hoya elliptica number 3. So I'm going to start there.
Jesse all looks over at Adam.
And I have killed Hoya. What's the wavy leaf one that I just named earlier?
Verstigia.
Verstigiae. So I'm going to go there second. And then third. A new one that I've never owned, but probably would kill, the Hoya elephant, just because those leaves.
Okay. Those are big leaves.
Big, big leaves. That's mine.
For me, I would love... See, I'm going to say these are my wish list, but that's not like I'm actively trying, because I'm pretty sure I could probably get these, but I just... You know, when they come into my life, when they decide to bless me, that'll be good. But the Gnongodin Ghost, I love that one. Every time I see it, I still get a little swoony over it.
Gnongodin Ghost.
The Inner Variegated Crassiopetilata. The Inner Variegated... Polyneura, because you just have to like...
I was going to say finish that the one.
You have to finish the whole group.
Once you have them, you got to have them all, right?
Yeah.
Like Pokemon.
So yeah, I think those would be my wish list. And maybe some more... Once I get things repotted and like feeling good about care, some more thin-leaved, because I'm really enjoying watching those grow, like the Paradisiae, the Frogfoot...
They're That's not fun. Really thin leaf,
but you know.
But it's like fun to wait and anticipate blooms.
Mm-hmm.
So, my neck just cracked. Did you guys hear that?
That was your
I
neck?
Literally I heard it on the mic.
Am I still here? Am I still alive?
Ew. Ooh.
That sounded like when people are like,
yeah. That's it. We're going to have to charge you guys for listening to this episode for the free chiropractor ASMR there.
Gosh.
All I did was just say, eh.
What? That sounded like one of those squeaky toys.
Yeah. I'm like checking if I just have a pulse.
Yeah, you do.
Okay. All right, I'm still here. We're good. Show must go on.
What's on your wish list?
Okay, so I really, you know, space is becoming a thing. And
yeah.
Also, like, care is becoming a thing. And honestly, like, plants that we can keep on, like, the circle trellis, so much easier to care for. Because I can just take it to the sink.
Yeah.
And I can just spray it all down at the sink. But the bigger-leaved Hoyas that are on, like, the 12-foot trellis, like, I have to take them outside. And it feels like so much more that has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to focus on staying with, like, smaller leaved Hoya. And there are a few that I really want. So one of them is, and I think this one just got an IM ascension number. But just at the beginning of the year, it was Hoya species Sulawesi, and it looks like IMO8, but the leaves are hairy.
When they're like a heart.
Oh yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. I've seen that people have been finding it in Sulawesi and also in Papua, because this one also looks the same.
It does. Oh, I like how big the leaves are. So, yeah. Like, they're not big, but you know.
But it's like totally manageable. Like, put on a circle trellis or a smaller trellis, and I feel like it'd be, feel super manageable, you know? And then the other one that I really want is Hoya obcordata.
Oh.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah, because remember that was in our last episode. That was one of the ones that was recently that we, a little lore for the LTH gang. Our first episode we recorded was like a publication deep dive.
Oh, and this was on the oops.
Cordata. I'm pretty sure it was.
I really want this. You know,
no,
what?
But we didn't publish it, so it's fine.
This is okay, perfect.
Remember, that's the one that we were like,
one day we should, we should, don't like this. One day we should post that for Patreon.
That, no, that's like, that episode that's so like haunts me.
It's, hold on, but show me that again.
You know,
that's
what it kind of
really
reminds
cute.
Me of? Like ficus triangularis leaves.
Or,
and like, I can't keep that alive, and I really want one.
If the ficus triangularis and a serpent
had a baby together, and it looks slightly pubescent.
That's cute.
That's super cute. I'm
and a very unique
no
leaf shape.
What the...
Some would say that leaf shape
flowers
is
look like
obcordata. Obcordate.
Really? Oh, wow. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Okay, and then the last one, there is a... Okay, apparently I only want pubescent plants this year, like something about the fuzzies, I guess. There is a Hoya from Borneo, species Borneo from Barrio Highland. Also very similar, a little bit bigger, but smaller leaves, slightly pubescent, it almost looks like, just a little bit of pubescence, but it looks cute.
Yeah, that you is know? Very cute. You know what I like about that plant picture you're showing me is that much like the Polyneura, it's growing both leaves on each node.
Oh, yeah. They're perfect leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's not like a single single.
It's very satisfying
it's a double,
to
double.
The eyeballs.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like all the vibes for those are like pretty similar, but they're just cute.
And very cute.
Yeah. So those would be mine. From Huckle Peel. Do you still use Pure Crop? If so, how and when?
Yes.
Every single time I water, two things go in there. My 9369 or whatever that fertilizer is called. And Pure Crop 1.
9369.
I don't know. What's the numbers on there? Foliage Pro?
Oh, I was like, what fertilizer have we ever used that's called 9369?
So it's Foliage Pro and Pure Crop 1 because I am a STD girl.
First we're talking about 69ing, and now we're talking about STD.
I always
Maybe
have
you should
pests.
Stop using the 69.
No, I always have pests, and so the Pure Crop is just like I use it more as a like upkeep preventative type situation.
So you don't spray it on the foliage; you add it into your nutrients.
I haven't yet, but I think I'm gonna start because I'm having trouble with mealy bugs and stuff on my foliage.
Yeah.
So Pure Crop 1, I've heard, is really effective against spider mites.
Because, oh, yeah, that's the other thing
like,
I have.
Agriculturally, people use Pure Crop 1, and that's, like, one of, like, the highest things, I think. So I've used it as a foliar spray during the wintertime, like, as a preventative, because, I mean, I don't have time for such pests in my home, you know? And so I've used it, like, this winter specifically, I used it as a foliar spray. And then just as upkeep, like every month, I swap out using my nutrient solution for a watering and I pour in Pure Crop 1 mixed solution instead. So just as a preventative, because I think it works.
I use it the same probably as Lydia, but I actually go one step further. I have, because root mealies are a thing. So I use it as like a pond drench in that era of my life. And honestly, it worked, folks. It worked. So what I did was I would take the plant, because we grow in hydro, it's super easy. And I would just fill it up with the solution like you would with nutrients, but I'd fill it up till I saw the water come up to the top. Mm-hmm. And I would just let it sit there for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then I would pull the plant out, dump the water. And if I was treating plants that I knew had pests, I would reuse the water for those ones that I was absolutely certain. But I would not recommend that to others if you're not doing it like responsibly.
Yeah.
But it works. And I love it.
I did it the lazy way and I just replaced mm-hmm. and used it that way too. And either way, I feel like if you stay, like if you have root mealies,
yes,
then at that point, like don't even do nutrients. Like every single time that you water, use Pure Crop One and use it for the entire life cycle plus. So I would even recommend 3 months
mm-hmm.
if you want to be like extra, extra, extra safe. Like it's not going to hurt the plant.
Yeah, I mean, you already have the down, so just keep doing it.
Yeah, so then just do it the solid like 4 months, and then you can continue on. And honestly, like there's going to be like leftover nutrients in the plant for a little while, so it'll still grow. It'll still be fine. Yeah. So I think, you know, if you're really wanting to target the pest and make sure that it's gone, then go for it. Like it really works.
Yeah.
So.
And I need someone to back me up that it smells like the Expo marker spray to clean a whiteboard.
Pure Crop
marker.
Yes.
It does. It gives me like the little like after vibes of that. Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to put a name to it, but I just.
The dry erase markers. Yeah. The spray. Expo it smells marker. Just like
the
that.
The spray.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
I'm going to go home and have some
Expo spray. I don't mind it, you know?
She just sprays it into her nose.
I mean, we're going to do that challenge where people like drink random things and they don't know what they're drinking. And it's going to be a Pure Crop.
Expo marker.
Melted and silica.
Yes,
and
silica beads.
And liquid dirt.
Liquid dirt would be another one. Oh, Jesse loves her bleach. Bleach.
Oh, yeah. I would be able to know I'm drinking bleach like that. No, that smell would waft.
Okay, next question from Sour Tree. Have you figured out how to keep splash?
The age-old question.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
Genetics, genetics, genetics.
Yeah, there's like right when you think you have a handle on it, you'll notice you don't.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm happy to be proven wrong. So if like there's studies done, if there's experiments and it's like a surefire way, but I just don't buy it.
If you have a vine that comes in and it puts out 2-3 leaves with no splash, even if it's a splashy mother plant, I don't believe there's anything that you can do to make that specific vine become splashy.
Correct. I mean, it may later down the line.
Yeah, like might put out a new vine from that plant. But if the plant has a genetics and there's a new vine that comes in, you have a chance that it can have that same genetic. But say a new vine comes out and you observe it and there's no splash on that vine. Will you get splash? No. You know, yeah. I wouldn't say after the first leaf because sometimes like there's like different factors. And so you may not see it on like the first, but then after a few, like you may see it. But if it just like goes and it just stays green, you can do what Lydia does. I just cut it off and let it start again. And I mean, I've tried tons of times and if it has the genetics,
it works.
It'll like I went what like 5-6 times on the that obovada. One Hoya obovada, yeah, inner variegated with splash. And after I kept on cutting it back, it finally gave me that super pretty vine. So,
yeah,
that's the way to do it. I'm a proponent of genetics. Yeah,
just if you have a splashy mother plant, like if your cutting was very splashy and in the vine that grew isn't, snip it off.
And don't buy a plant where someone says from a variegated or from a splashy mother plant. And the plant that you're buying doesn't have that characteristic. Because if it doesn't have it, then that's going to be real hard.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure whatever plant that you get has the genetic. And if a new vine comes out and it's not showing that mutation, hey, don't be too hurt by it. Cut it off. Give it another try.
Yes.
So, because Hoyas also don't have spent nodes.
Boom.
Bam. Yes. Okay.
Another reason to love them.
Next question from Crassulas and Carungles. Another question from Crassulas and Carungles. When you rolled out pests, what's next to encourage a stubborn Hoya to grow? Oh, we've talked about this. Patience.
atypical dominance.
Cutting. See, I'm like, I always go back to the one I threw away. Let's drudge that up again.
Yes, let's.
I just really don't think that there was anything that was going to, that was just not a great cutting. Mm. That particular plant. Now, I'm not saying, listener, that yours is a, not a great cutting, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I've used cakey paste before, too. That's a cloning paste.
The thing with cakey paste, though, is they recommend that you don't use it on immature plants.
True.
Because it stresses the plant out.
But if it has a lot of roots?
So I only encourage to use it on a mature plant, but it's your plant, so you have the freedom to do whatever you'd like. But sometimes it is patience. Like we've talked about before, like I had a plant that just sat for a whole year and gave me one leaf. My Polyneura Broget, that's what it was. It just sat and sat. And then all of a sudden, I didn't do anything to it and it just popped off. And now it's a huge plant and I've shared it with you. Yeah. I've shared it with like tons of people. So,
not me.
I was waiting for it.
No, it's the Broget.
I've shared it with all the most important people in my life.
So, if you're absolutely sure it's not pest or anything like that, I say don't stress it out more by moving it around and doing something different. Sometimes I think you have to give it time. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different factors too. Like, if you're absolutely certain, again, the pest, but nothing in the roots, the roots are all healthy. Certain. Microscope, all of that stuff. But sometimes like I've had Hoya that just like the, I know I hate when people are like, oh, you just got to wait for it to fill up the pot. But sometimes I do have Hoya that seem like they need to grow their roots out and fill up the pot before they'll push out a vine.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. Next question from Mama Meg _ runs. What would you consider must have Hoyas? Ooh, should we each name one that we think is a must have?
Yes. You want me to go first? I'm going to go first.
Go.
I think a must-have in a Hoya collection is a Lacunosa. Because
Surprise.
Because they will give you a flower, and that's what we all want. And they are just like, you can count on Lacunosas to give you that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think a must-have Hoya is a Clemenciorum or anything similar. Something that looks like Jurassic. Because I think that is a really... like unique look in a plant and even within Hoyas, like those Jurassic ancient looking leaves really make you feel like you're back in time.
Yeah. And I'm going to say a classic Multiflora.
Oh.
And I've said it before, but we did our Multiflora episode and that really just sparked my love for it again. And there's just so many different kinds that you can get. And they bloom all the time and just gorgeous. And so, especially if you kind of want to dip your toes into getting a little bit of a like foliage that's kind of different, you know,
mm-hmm.
go for a Multiflora. I think it's a solid one.
I think that's definitely a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, and those bloom a lot too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Last one from Empowered Mama. I don't like using pan, instead a cocoa husk mix. For cuttings, I usually use fluval, but some yellow suggestions? There's a yellow square. What does that mean? Am I too old to understand what that means?
Maybe they have a better keyboard than you.
Yellow box suggestions.
It looks like that on mine too. I don't like using pawn instead of cocoa husk mix. For cuttings, I usually
put some yellow box suggestions.
For cuttings, people are usually probably painful. A square shown in the color yellow may be used to represent anything yellow, including a yellow penalty card.
Girly, we're elder millennials here.
I don't like using pawn instead a cocoa husk mix. For cuttings, I usually use fluval, but some yellow box. So maybe she's asking for how to root cuttings. That's not pond.
But the picture question says, is it normal for new caudata leaves to look like this? And it looks very sleek and shiny.
I get it. She's getting yellowing leaves.
Oh.
But some yellow.
But some
yellow. Oh, wow. Oh, that was embarrassing. Took too long. Okay, let's try this again.
I'm keeping that in, though, by the way.
Okay.
Because people need to know that we're elder. Okay. Well, I'm an elder millennial.
I was born an elder millennial.
Last? Are we really elder? Are we just mid?
No, we're just millennials, yeah. But I'm an
elder. You guys are definitely mid.
Okay.
Hey.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, Gramps.
Okay, last question. I don't like using pawn instead of cocoa husk mix. For cuttings, I usually use fluval, but some yellow. Suggestions. That makes so much sense because it's literally just yellow. Yeah, all so yellow box question mark.
We don't use fluval, but I have had it in the past. And what I do know is after a while, it like breaks down a lot and retains a lot of the water. So you might need to like change out the fluval more often. If you aren't doing that currently, because it even breaks down and becomes like mud-like.
I mean, honestly, if you have a preferred substrate that you're even using, like if you like using a cocoa husk mix, just root your cuttings in there.
Yeah, just humidity is the key. Yeah. For rooting cuttings, I think that's the one thing that a lot of people miss. Humidity. So like put it in a box, put it in a bag, put
and it in the substrate. Cabinet. Don't let the substrate dry out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, and then it's nice because it's already in your preferred substrate. Mm-hmm. And so if that substrate works well for you, I would say
root in it. Yeah, I've rooted in so many different things because I don't root in pond.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sometimes I do, but for the most part, I get roots and then I put in pond.
Yeah. So I would give that a try. But those were all of our questions. So thank you to everybody who asked us questions. Like I said, I think it's just a fun way to like chat with you all, yeah. Kind of, you know, and to hear from you and then you guys to interact with us. So hopefully those were helpful and we'll do it again this year because I think that's fun.
To be involved in these episodes in the future, like Lydia said, we do kind of mostly use our Instagram to capture your guys' responses, to interact with you. So please be sure to follow us over there on Instagram at lets.talkhoya. And then you can also follow us all individually. My Instagram is at notdude.
I'm at thegreenplant.az.
And I'm at perritos y plants. Adios.
Adios.
Bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.